silence in the air. You could just hear a pin drop. And suddenly I hear a thump. I turn back around just in time to see that young man who was standing there talking to the untouchables hit by a car. And so I'm looking at him. His body is wadded up underneath the car. The car's maybe a ride a little taller, but he's wadded up underneath that car. And I can't believe I'm seeing it. Now the driver opens the door, walks to the person, then looks back up and sees the untouchables. Looks again at the person, then looks at the untouchables. In his mind, you can see him calculate, this guy under the car is now unclean. He's unclean by nature because he touched, he was near the untouchables. And so the driver closes his door and just drives off and leaves the body in the road. I'm just standing there. I'm stunned. I'm a young American. I'm just stunned. And so I look up the road, and here comes the next driver. And you can see this guy's eyes calculating on the guy in the road, the untouchables, the guy in the road, the untouchables. You can see it happens like slow-mo. And all of a sudden, this guy decides he's untouchable. He's a dog hit the road. I don't care. And he comes and he runs right over the guy without even slowing down. I watch the body under the car. I can't believe it. Now bones are coming out. This guy's a mess. I mean, I don't even know if he's alive anymore. I'm just literally stunned. And I look up and the next driver's coming. You can see his eyes calculating. And I don't know, I'm not a hero, but something inside me, I just reacted. I didn't think about it. I ran over, picked this guy up off the road. Now, first of all, he shouldn't even have been moved. His body was mangled. But I picked him up off the road, and I barely jumped off the road before the car ran me over. Because I was now considered unclean as he was unclean. I come back across the road to this side, and all the workers are looking at me, and I'm pretty much done now on the job. Because they're not going to have much to do with me at this point. And a little girl comes running out. I said to the little girl, who is this man? I call him a man, I believe. And she says, he's the new boy. He's the new boy. And I said, well, do you know his father? Do you know his family? She says, yeah, over here. So I'm carrying this guy. He's bleeding in my arms. I go around. It's like supernatural strength. I don't even remember if he's heavy or not. And I go around and I meet who would be his father. And we're just going to call him Craig Top Scene today. His father's living in this little shanty. It's a bad old, just a horrible little place. And let me tell you the story of his father. His father had been married to an Indian woman and given birth to an Indian son. An Indian son. During that birth, the mother had passed away. That father had raised that boy for years by himself. He had then married a woman that was an Egyptian woman from Egypt. That Egyptian woman had one son. The boy I was holding in my arms was the Egyptian boy. He was not Indian at all. He was Egyptian. To me, I didn't notice the difference. I just hold him. This was his first day in India. He had just got there to be with his mother. He had never seen an untouchable. And so he was also stunned at looking at him and was just standing there looking at him when he got hit by the car. So now I have this boy. And in India, when you take somebody to the hospital, the only thing the hospital does is administers medicine. The family has to change the sheets, feed you. If they need blood, you've got to go find the blood and bring it back. If they need medicine, you've got to go find the medicine and bring it back. The doctors simply administrate, that's all. But this boy, we take him to the hospital. Now, Craig Top Scene has no money. I'm done. I'm done on the job because I'm done. They have to send me home. So I go home. I don't have much, but I have his address. And for the next 9 months, I send $75 a month to help this guy with this kid in the hospital. One day I receive a poorly written letter. It's the English is very bad. And the letter is stating that don't send any more money because the boy from Egypt, the grandparents in Egypt have come to India and taken this boy back to Egypt where there's better medical attention. Thank you so much for your help. Thank you for what you've done. You've helped us save his life. He's going to be okay. He's back in Egypt. Don't send any more money. So at that point, I stopped the money, but I wanted to maintain the friendship with Craig Top Scene. So every year at Christmas time, a picture of my beautiful face for a Christmas card. Everybody wants my face on a Christmas card. Every year, he would send me back something in Indian. Indian. I don't have a Hindi, I don't want to say it, but I believe it was good. Every year, I'd receive one back from him. This went on for years. Okay? Now, up to this day. To this day. Now, let's go forward. Let's go forward. We're going to move forward now about 20 years. We're going to come to my life later on in my life. And now, I have liver cancer. And now, I'm in San Diego. And I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I'm down to 92 pounds. I've been through chemo several times already. I'm a mess. My body is falling apart. I have a doctor in Rancho Bernardo, California, Dr. Morrison. And so when I go to my doctor this day to check up on, to see the checkup, I find out that the doctor has been killed in a car accident. Honestly, I was at this time flatlining in my mind, my heart. I had no emotion. I just said, what do I do now? They said, well, we're going to give you a new doctor. I felt nothing. I'm sad for that, but I just felt nothing. I was broken, my body, my mind. They said, give me a new doctor. I go to the back. This doctor's a new guy. He starts talking to me. As he's talking to me, something in me made me think, hey, I've heard this accent you had. And I asked the doctor, are you from the southern part of India? As soon as I said that, he breaks into tears. And he goes, I know you. I'm looking at him. He goes, I know you. My father is Pratap Singh. And I have seen your picture on my wall for 20 years at Christmas time. I know you. And I'm stunned. I said, wow, that's cool, man. Right? So he starts to do the test. He walks out of the room. He comes back. And now he's crying. He looks at me and he says, Pastor, you maybe have 3 months to live, maybe. He said, he starts to tell me the whole prognosis. I'm used to hearing all this negative report by this time. I'm just listening to him. And he says, but I'm going to get you the finest help in the world. I want you to go over to UCSD Medical Research Center, and I want you to see this doctor. He gives me a name. So I go over there. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sick. I don't feel like going, but I go because he encourages me to go. When I get there, the nurses at the counter laugh at me and say, you can't see that doctor. He's like the leading scientist in the world for liver and for hepatology and for all this stuff. You'll never see him. There's no way. We're going to give you this other doctor. I don't care who they give me. I said, fine. She says, but you can't see him until tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. For me, that was good. I wanted to go home. I said, fine. See you later. Took my son out the door I went. As I'm driving home, we're in San Diego. San Diego's a big city. I just happened to look over at a gas station, and there's Dr. Vivek. The first son of Pratap Singh, his name is Vivek. I look up, and in a hall, San Diego, there he is. So I decide to pull over and tell him, hey, I can't see the doctor you wanted me to see, but I've got this guy. So I tell him that immediately. I don't know if you've been around Indian folks, but his head doesn't stand. His little head starts bobbing, man. I mean, he's upset. He's frustrated. He starts yelling something. I don't know what it was, but I don't think it was Christian. I'm not sure. We drive just around the corner, not too far, to his office. He sits me down. He goes to the back. I hear him yelling. He comes back out. He says to me, you go back to the medical research center. They'll be waiting on you. I said, I really don't feel like it. He says, you have to go. You have to go. So I got in my car. I drive over there. This time I feel a little more important because as I pull in, there's a lady out there with a big sign that says, Ray Kirkland. So I'm like, hey, I'm moving up. You know, I get to park in a nice place up front. I got a big sign. She walks in, walks me past everybody in the waiting room. That made me feel good. I walk into this little room. They've got double doors on that side, double doors on this side, a bed. And they set me down on this bed. They start to check my temperature, my blood pressure. The lady that checks my blood pressure says, you've got to lay down. I don't want you to die here. Your blood pressure is off the hook. I had run about 105 fever for about 6 years at this time. I was cooking. And she said, if you lay down, don't move. I'll get the doctor. So I'm laying there, waiting on the doctor. Suddenly the door opens and in walks a big man with a white gown on and 5 or so other interns in green gowns. They walk in and the doctor says to me, are you Mr. Kirkland? I said, I am. He said, would you stand on your feet? Now, I think we're going to another room. When I stood up, he runs over, he grabs me, and he begins to hug me. I feel tears running down my neck. I looked at him, he looked at me, and goes, "You don't know me, but I know you. You picked me up off of a road 20 years ago, and you saved my life, and now I will save your life." And you listen to me, that I never paid for anything medical. When I moved to Phoenix with Dr. Mann, he drove all the way to Palm Springs in his Rolls Royce with his nurses to meet me. He would drive to Phoenix wherever I wanted. He took care of me. To this day, we're friends.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to tell you something. God sees the big picture.
Yes.
God saw that in 25 years, I would need something. Are you listening to me? God sees the big picture. You might be in a season where your mind is playing games with you tonight. You might be in a dry season, but God